This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing our series on In His Presence. We were made by God and for God. We were called to walk with God, and irrespective of where we go or what we do or what we accomplish, we'll never be satisfied unless we have a relationship with God, because we were designed to know Him. And Psalm 16 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And the New Living says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and pleasures of living with you forever." I love the way it tells us that in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so we find pleasure in His presence. And I think it's so important to, you know, approach God's presence with that perspective, because it's not an obligation. Prayer is not an obligation. Worship is not some onerous task that has been given to us. Rather, it's a privilege. It's a privilege that we can worship the King, that we can come into His presence, that we can pray. So I'd like us to look at Exodus chapter 33 and verse 6. "So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb." And so they stripped themselves of the ornaments, and I suppose a modern day parallel to that, looking at the church, would be, you could argue in some ways that we have many ornaments, many things that are ornamental in nature, in that they might look good, but they're not necessarily serving any real purpose. And this is where I think many of our traditions come from, is we lose sight of the deeper meaning and we become disconnected from the reason why. This is something I often address when I marry couples. I mean, just last weekend I was marrying a couple and I mentioned that fact, is that, you know, sometimes we can have all sorts of Christian traditions and we've forgotten really the reason why. And so a wedding becomes all about the dress and the cake and the party and the pictures and the event and the location, etc. And really we forget about the fact that, you know, all of that is ultimately just superficial. It's not that important. What is important is the fact that you're making a sacred covenant in the eyes of a holy God, and two separate lives are being miraculously joined together in the eyes of God. And like I said, when we lose sight of that, when we forget that and become disconnected from the deeper meaning, then it just becomes yet another empty ritual, just another tradition that has no real meaning to us. And so anyway, they stripped themselves of their ornaments at Mount Horeb, and this is something we need to do ourselves as well, I believe, as the church, is to strip ourselves of those things that do not glorify God. And verse 7, it says, "Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord..." So again, I think that's a key phrase. Everyone who sought the Lord, because not everybody is seeking the Lord. I'm aware, even as that as a pastor, you know, on a Sunday, just because somebody's in church doesn't mean they're necessarily there seeking the Lord. Sometimes guys are seeking women, women are seeking men, and it's sometimes people are just seeking all the wrong things. And I think it's important to understand, it says, everyone who sought the Lord, because sometimes people can be just going through the motions, and you know, they're in church because that's their tradition, that's their habit, and they believe it's a good thing to do, but they're not really there to seek God. And sometimes people are there to be seen. Sometimes people are there because of a guilty conscience or to kind of tick a box, so to speak, with God. And I don't believe that that pleases the Lord. I believe God wants us to be there because we are actively seeking Him. Like it says in the book of Psalms, when you said, "Seek my face, my heart said of you, your face, O Lord, I will seek." So God wants us to seek Him. So He went out to the tabernacle meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out of the tabernacle, all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses till he'd gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So Joshua was so desperate for God's presence, he decided, you know what, I want to live here. I want to live here out in the desert, far from the camp. I want to live in this place where I'm close to your presence, even if I'm far from the crowd and far from the action. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation as your people." So again, here we see Moses pressing into God's presence, saying, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. So this was the cry of Moses' heart was, I want to be in your presence, I want to know you, I want to see you, I want to walk with you. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he said to them, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be present separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. So again, he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. And so Moses, again, understood that the presence of God made all the difference. And so he said, Lord, I would prefer to stay here in this desert where your presence is than to go into the promised land if your presence isn't there. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please, show me your glory. So Moses clearly didn't care where he was going. He only cared if he was going there with God. And so for Moses, I think it's quite evident that the promised land held no promise for him if the presence of God would not be there. And if we will learn to live in his presence, we too will be blessed and not stressed. Because we see here that Moses took the attitude, you know what? We'll be just fine right here in the desert. If this is where your presence is going to remain, we will remain here too. And so again, if we live in his presence, we will be blessed, not stressed. We won't need to be popping tablets to get to sleep at night, and we won't be getting into arguments or fighting with people. We won't be so quick to take offense or get bitter or harbor a grudge. And so again, the presence of God must be our priority. Hallelujah. In his presence, we were designed to walk with God. We were designed to walk in his presence. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9 to 12. I'm going to finish with this, but I think it really is a parallel to what we saw here with Moses. And, you know, Elijah was a man mightily used by God. And, you know, he experienced a tremendous victory. And yet after tremendous victory, tremendous discouragement came on him. And that can happen sometimes. And he gets to the point where he just essentially prays that he was dead. So he was deeply discouraged. And even though God had just used him to wipe out all the prophets of Baal, and the fire of God had fallen, and God had used him to bring the people of Israel back to God. And yet, you know, this attack comes through Jezebel and he gets deeply discouraged. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And you may be in that place today where you're discouraged. And the Lord's saying that to you, why are you in this place? Why are you listening to those lies? Why are you giving into that discouragement? Why are you despairing? Why are you looking at your situation from your perspective without factoring God into the equation? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and a strong wind, tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, still small voice. And let me say this as I finish. God will speak to you if you ever get quiet enough to listen to him. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, close the door, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. And so I would just encourage you this week, take time to get quiet. Close the door, turn off the TV, turn off your phone, go to a room in your house that's quiet, or go for a walk, or go to the beach. But if you will get quiet, God will speak to you. And one of the reasons why you're discouraged is because you're not listening to the voice of God, and because you have all of these other voices that you're listening to. And so it's so important for us to learn to get quiet before God, that we get into his presence, and that we don't do all the speaking, but that we learn to listen, because our Father has things to say to us. He said, "I know the plans I have for you," said the Lord, "plans for good, not for evil, to give you hope in the future." And so if we will listen, God will speak. Hallelujah. He will speak in the quietness, that still small voice, that inner witness on the inside. Glory to God, because he cares about us. And so, hallelujah. I hope this has encouraged you, and I hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.